This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder, your host, and joining me today is one of my most favorite people in the entire world, Bear Wozniak. He is a world champion surfer. He is an author. He's a radio host. He is an incredible bike rider. He has got a motorcycle rider. He has got more credentials than I could spend time to list to you here. So, Bear, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you are definitely are my first ninjutsu black belt on the show. So thanks for joining me.
And Bill, I know that a lot of your listeners are non-Catholic evangelicals and people like that, and I want to give a shout out to them. You know, I went to Baylor University, the University for Southern Baptists, and spent a lot of time in the evangelical world. Was a youth group leader back in the day. I was raised Catholic, and then kind of did some time in the evangelical area, and then came back to the church. But I have met so many great people who just really love the Lord that are in the evangelical church. And these days, we need to stick together.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We definitely have to stick together. We definitely have to, ride together on this journey, because the world is throwing so much at us. But Bear, let's talk a little bit first about all the incredible stuff you're doing. Your ministry really is booming. You have this radio program, which I guess is going to be now called Bear Wozniak's Deep Adventure, a Great Adventure, right?
It's the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
The Bear Wozniak Adventure. That's the new title of the radio program. So tell me a little bit about that first, since we're on radio.
Well, it's kind of a radical show. There's not many like it, because we just kind of roll podcast style in a sense. We also do the kind of Hawaiian talk story, because, you know, as you know, I'm from Hawaii, and we just get to know each other. We have fun on the show, and then we go real deep, too. And I have every kind of possible guest. I just had Mike Aquilino, one of the men he's written 50 books on mostly on the early church fathers. And then I have, I have had a guy who was a rodeo cowboy protector. You know, they used to call him rodeo clowns. So we have every kind of guest on the show, and we just, the common denominator is that they're crazy in love with Jesus.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And, your journey of faith, is one of those things that, I know that you are crazy in love with Jesus. That's one thing I love about you, Bear, is that you are crazy in love with Jesus, and, your journey has been, up and down in a lot of waves. I know you, detail it in two different books, but tell us a little bit about your journey of faith and how you became crazy in love with Jesus.
Oh, well, I'm just going to tell you the beginning.
Yeah.
Of my initial conversion. I was just one of those guys. I was raised in the Catholic Church. And I just always wondered, how can someone be like those early apostles and have a desire to like Thomas going all the way to India, and James all the way to Portugal, and Peter and Paul, and all those that were martyred. And I understood the beauty of the church and the beauty of the gospels, because in the Catholic Church, we basically go through the whole Bible in a year if you go to Mass every day. And, but I was like, how do you get enthusiastic about an idea? And I had lived a very righteous life. I mean, 19 years old, I couldn't have been living too unrighteous of a life, but, I never drank. I didn't smoke, no premarital sex or anything like that. I was just trying to live straight and narrow. In fact, I was kind of uptightly in that sense, straight and narrow. And somewhere like in my junior year in college, I'd started school a year early, so I was a junior year in my junior year when I was 19. I kind of came to the place where I was like, is that all there is? I mean, if this is all there is to living a moral life or to living life, then why not, eat, drink, and be merry, or as we used to say, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, why not? And it was right at that time when my mother said to me, hey, you got to go with me to this prayer meeting. I'm like, dude, And by the way, I'd already gone to the martial arts, Taekwondo back in that day. I was seeking out Eastern religion. I'd taken a great philosophy course. Only 12 of us in this beautiful room with those old books around a conference table. and we pursued, went through all the ancient philosophers, and I just couldn't find, everything just seemed to just miss the mark, you know. The Eastern religion didn't want to hit the mark at all, you know, wanted to avoid religion and all of that stuff. So I'd kind of come to an end of myself, and I've been working hard, going to college, paying my way through, and working two or three jobs, and just like, is this all there is? And why not just party on, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom said, hey, come to me with it to this prayer meeting. I'm going like, she goes, hey, if you do, I'll buy you a new pair of blue jeans. And besides, there's some cute girls there. So I thought, well, all right, I'll go. And so I went, and I was blown away. It was in the first few years of what was called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. I don't know how many people know that there's actually more Pentecostal Catholics than non-Catholic Pentecostals. Great renewal in the spirit. And I went to this prayer meeting. It's like, there's a priest and a couple of nuns, but it was run by the laity. And they didn't, there was no structure. That we played music and worshiped, and people shared from their hearts or in other ways what the Lord was telling them. And I thought, these people, like when I pray, I did it out of a, like I thought I ought to. But they seemed to think God was listening and even, you know, speaking back to them in a sense in their hearts. It was more like they were madly in love with him. And I just said to them, whatever you got, I want that. And I said, well, read the book of the first five chapters or so of Acts. And then there was another book they had me read. And I was, and next week, if you still want to receive the, give your life to the Lord in this way, we'll pray for you. In other words, there was beautiful emotions expressed there, but it wasn't emotionalism. It wasn't people revving up their emotions. It was people just in love with the Lord. And they didn't want me to make an emotional decision. They wanted me to make a reasoned, measured decision. They said, because this is going to cost you everything. It is complete surrender. And I just remember I read through those books. And then the day before the Tuesday night prayer meeting, that night before, I had this dream that Jesus was walking along the balcony, the hallway, outdoor hallway at the apartment I was staying in, and he was coming to see me. And I was so thrilled. And he walked in the room, and as he walked in, I reached up to hug him, but collapsed at his feet and just held his legs. And there was just this beautiful love that I felt. And so that night, I go to the prayer meeting, and I'm kind of expecting, you know, like when they pray for me afterwards, that it would be like asking a girl out on her date and them saying yes, you know? Like, it'd be cool, it'd be nice, it'd be good, it'd be great. But I wasn't expecting what happened. And I just remember it was a beautiful time of prayer. And then they said, now, those of you who want to be prayed with, it was in someone's living room, they had two different other rooms set aside to be prayed over. And there was a girl with me that had come to visit our family, and she wanted to experience, give her life to the Lord too. So she and I were, you know, being prayed with. I remember Bob Schwartz smiling through his mustache, his post-Vietnam mustache, and Charles DeBow and others were there, and they'd all fasted that day. And I remember Bob Schwartz touched my shoulder, and he said, now, do you want to give your life to the Lord and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, before he could say anything, the Holy Spirit just fell on me. The Holy Spirit burst forth within me in ways that are indescribable. I understand because of that experience why the apostles would go through the uttermost parts of the world to share the gospel. There was a bursting forth. Do we still have time? Are we running out of time?
Oh, no, we got plenty of time.
Okay, there was a bursting forth as out of Joel, rivers of living water bursting forth from our bellies. It was like tongues of it was like liquid, warm love filled me. And it was as if the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, were going into every area of my life and filling me and healing me and forgiving me. And then he went deeper and he said, see that little cabinet right there? I'm going to open that up and I'm going to forgive and heal that. I'm going to forgive and heal that. I'm going to forgive. Every dark corner of my heart, his light shone into. And I noticed the girl next to me was crying, and I began to cry in a joyful way. But then I heard her beginning to laugh. She had this joyful laugh. And then I never lifted my hands other than to, you know, maybe do a military press in my life. I felt these heavy hands of mine, when they were praying in the prayer group, they would raise their hands. I couldn't lift them above my hips. But my hands just automatically went up in surrender, and a beautiful new language poured forth from my mouth. And it just bubbled and bubbled and bubbled. And I would actually say, Bill, it wasn't that beautiful a language, but it was a new language. It was kind of a rough sounding language. And from that moment, I wanted to die and go to heaven. I didn't want to live on earth anymore. And I just figured that every single human being would want to know their creator. I couldn't imagine not wanting to know our creator. So I just went everywhere. Anyone who saw me was in serious jeopardy. Mm. But the first person who saw me was my father that night. And he goes, I come home, my mom and I come home. And he goes, well, what happened? What happened to you? And I told him, he goes, well, let me hear this language. And I spoke in it, and he said, I recognize it. It's a dialect. He's Ukrainian, but it's like sort of a dialect of the Ukraine. And I hear the word God, and I hear the word love. And so my father, we kind of invited Charles and Bob to come over. They met socially, and they were there 3 days later. And my dad experienced this powerful infusion of the Holy Spirit. And while I was praying with them, my very rough language turned into the beautiful, beautiful, flowing heavenly language that I have now. And, it transformed my life. And this miracle of tongues, people think, that's so strange. That's so crazy. Why would God give people the gift of tongues? That's going over the edge. But actually, praying in tongues is only logical. It would be illogical not to speak in your native language.
You're so right. You're right, Bear.
If your citizenship is in heaven, what are you doing speaking English?
Right.
You know, and I remember I got to the point where I was leading the worship in a largely Latino Catholic church and at the Charismatic Prayer Group there. And when the Latinos would pray in English for our benefit, it was beautiful. But when they prayed in Latin, it just flowed so naturally and so beautifully. So when we pray in tongues, it's our native tongue. It's so illogical to pray in a worldly language when your citizenship is in heaven, when you've been born anew, when you've been born into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen, Bear. Amen. For our listeners, you're listening to the voice of Bear Wozniak. He is the Deep Adventure Extraordinaire. His website is deepadventure.com. He's just an amazing person, a beautiful beautiful Christian, beautiful Catholic, doing so much amazing work for the Lord. And Barry, your initial conversion, that initial baptism in the Holy Spirit that so many Catholics, including myself, have experienced in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, really is we're now seeing the fruits 50 years later. 50 years, we're in the 50th anniversary, the Golden Jubilee.
Yeah, and what I love about it is, by the way, my website now is just bearwozniak.com.
Oh, okay, very good.
But you know, the thing about it is, I remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to the renewal that the renewal as you know it is going to change, and because for a long time it was kind of a renewal, kind of in its own little stream of things, and then what happened is all of these people involved in the renewal were infused into the entirety of the Catholic Church, from Mother Angelica, from Peter Crave to going into the different forms of renewal. I can't remember all the different things that happened, but instead of the charismatics having like always, you know, there's still this renewal going on, but instead of seeming to be like this group of people set apart, they just got brought right into the wholeness of the church, which is the way the Catholic Church has always renewed itself.
Yes.
Here it is.
Yes, they did. All right. So we got to take a short break here, Bear, but when we come back, we're going to talk about all your incredible ministries and all the incredible stuff you're doing to reach people out there in the world. So right back after this here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, She is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
This is Martha Fernandez Sardina with your Love Minute. Are you married? Do you wish you were married? Do you know that marriage is a love relationship, a lifelong love relationship? It requires a lot of love giving. What your spouse needs the most, what your spouse deserves the most, is you. Time with you, your listening, your attentive listening, your heart, your love. Love requires you to open up and allow the other to enter in. Love is cultivated by spending time together. Love is cultivated every time you go on a date, when you pray together, when you make sure that the sun does not go down on your anger. Would you want to have a happy marriage in which you give love and get love? Learn how to love, spending time with the beloved of our souls, Jesus Christ. Marriage is worth it. Work on it. Find more on love at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Now back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. I am your host, Bill Snyder, and continuing our conversation with deep adventurer extraordinaire Bear Woznick. Bear, your story of baptism in the Holy Spirit certainly captured my attention. I know it captured our listeners' attention in the first half of this interview, but I want to talk a little bit about your ministry now and what you're doing to really minister to men out there, because men are truly, in need of grabbing our society back from the clutches of Satan. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you're doing to take, you know, our culture back by inspiring men?
I like what you're saying. I don't inspire them. I challenge them because men love a challenge. You know, our TV show, Long Ride Home, with Bear Woznick, is a motorcycle-based reality TV show. We shot 10 episodes rolling motorcycles from Cocoa Beach back to San Diego, then up to Monterey, which was kind of replicating a bicycle ride that I did 15 years earlier. And we rode with my sidekick, Tony Orban, and then we had other bikers hook up with us. And one of the coolest things we did is we rode into the Big Bend country where Black Jack Pershing chased Pancho Villa across the Rio Grande River, you know. And during those times of Pancho Villa was the Mexican Revolution, when the Mexican revolutionaries riding on their horses right into the churches, killing the priests, desecrating the altar, killing the parishioners. And they would yell out, Viva la Revolution. But the Cristeros, the peasants, the common people like you and me rose up and said, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. And they fought back, sometimes with arms, and they won back the freedom to practice their faith. And in our Long Ride Home TV show, I think it's episode 6. It's available at our website, by the way, bearwoznick.com. People can get the 10 DVD set. And by the way, it's cool. It's re-airing on EWTN this fall, and it's on the Armed Forces Network too, starting September. So it's people can watch it there. But I get the men up like 2 hours before sunrise. We ride up into the mountains, up to this mesa, out in the desert, and they all take the ridge lines. And I know, that's Apache country. Back in the day, you would never stand on the ridge lines unless you thought you were really bad, you know, because you'd get picked off. And they took the ridge lines, and one man had a cross, several men had rosaries, some the Bible. And one man just had his cowboy hat that he took off. But you can see them. I'm reading the Apostles' Creed, and then you see the sun rising kind of behind them, silhouetting them. And you can see them taking the ridgeline. And at some point when we're done, I yell out to them, Viva Cristo Rey. And they echo it back, and it just echoes through the canyon, Viva Cristo Rey. It is time for men to take the ridgelines again and stand up for God, for absolute truth, for moral justice, for beauty, and for unconditional love. It's not machoism I'm talking about. But I hear this excuse coming from people in the pews, whether they're Protestant or Catholic. They tell this story of St. Francis, and St. Francis right now would just want to slap him across the face the way they misuse this. There's a story goes that St. Francis was walking into a town with a young friar, and he said, what are we going to do to St. Francis? We're going to share the gospel and only use words when necessary. You know, you do lead by example, but I got to tell the men today that using words is necessary. You only use words when necessary. It is now necessary. At your coffee breaks, when people start talking things that are undignified to women or about women or other subjects, step into the gap, step into the breach, wield your sword and your spear, your shield, and stand up, not in a macho way, but just in a humble way, but speak truth. It's necessary. Now, St. Francis, if he was standing in front of the American people today, he would say, it is necessary. Speak up, take the ridgeline, be seen as someone who's totally devoted to Christ. And those men who think that being a Christian is some sort of genderless or feminized sort of man couldn't be further from the truth. There's no nice men among the early church fathers. There's none of them are nice. And Jesus is the furthest thing from nice, and John the Baptist as well. They were good men. They were not nice little men that had their mochas reading poetry about why can't we all get along. They stood for truth. Now, I'm not talking about being a jerk, but I'm saying when you speak up for God, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. So we're calling men to a valiant relationship with God, to a cause bigger than they can win without them, to be virtuous, to pursue the virtues of faith, hope, and love, of justice, of self-mastery, of fortitude, of prudence, and to live a victorious life and to provide for their country and for their family, to step up and be men instead and stand together. The men need to come together. Jesus had his 12, and he had his closer group of three. We need to have small groupings of men. We call them man caves. And Bill, you know, I have my Bears Man Cave on Facebook. It's a private Facebook group. People have to go to bearwoznick.com. And if you're a man, you go to bearwoznick.com. You can click and join the Bears Man Cave. And it's for men only. We get very real about what's going on in our lives. And then we have video hangouts about every 3 or 4 weeks to help men begin their path of evangelization and start in their own man caves.
That's awesome. And, you know, the other thing, too, that you do every morning, which is inspiring, even though most of the time it happens at 6 o'clock a.m. out here in the Midwest where I'm recording this. So I'm normally still laying in bed. But you do an amazing reading through the catechism on Facebook Live pretty much every morning, I think, except for Sunday, right?
I don't do it Saturdays either.
Oh, you don't do it Saturdays. So Monday through Friday.
Right. And it's also like it's, you know, it's usually at 7 a.m. Eastern, but I travel. And right. So it might be at noon. You know, I'm going to Europe for a month. Who knows when it's going to be? So it depends on what I'm up to. And I like that. It's not like I'm killing myself to do it. It's part of the catechism has been a part of my normal morning prayer life. For 6, 7, 8 years, and all I'm doing is flipping on the Facebook Live feed, and it also it gets posted to YouTube as well later in the day. But we go through the catechism. We just got done with the first part one, which is the Apostles' Creed, and we just started today on the mystery liturgy that the Catholics practice. It took us about 10 months, I think, to go through that first part. So we just take our time, and people think I'm really smart because I'm reading from the Catholic Catechism.
Yeah, right.
Not me, it's the Catechism. Yeah.
No, and there's such beauty to that. It's an easy way to pray and pray along with others. You know, people are commenting every once in a while. I check in, and it's really nice. So if you're out there, and you know, maybe or as you mentioned that I mentioned maybe in the beginning of this that our listenership here on Evangelism Radio isn't maybe. You know, fully Catholic, but you want to learn a little bit more about the Catholic Church and the truth of it, this is an amazing way to do it in a non-pressure, you know, no one is going to be, you know, judging you because you're trying to learn something about the Church. I mean, you know, this is an amazing way to just evangelize and learn more about, you know, the Catholic, you know, the truths of the Catholic Church, even if you are Catholic or, you know, you've been away from the Church for a period of time. It doesn't matter. Just take a look at this because it's a great way. It's easy. It's every day. It's one of those things that you can really just, you know, tune into and grasp every day.
The way we had two Southern Baptist ministers on the ride, and they're both becoming Catholic. which is a big step when you're a Southern Baptist minister. But one of them is because of the beauty of the Eucharist, and the other one is primarily because of the beauty of the Catechism. Catholics, we propose when you have the truth, you don't have to hit people over the head with it. St. Augustine said, "Truth is like a lion; it'll defend itself. Just let it free." And the catechism is a very humble presentation. It's what we propose for people to consider and to think. And I've always said Catholicism is a thinking man's religion. It's steeped in philosophy as well as theology, as well as revelation, you know, based on scripture. And it's got the greatest thinkers, the greatest poets, the most beautiful saints all contributing to it. I mean, it's a book like it should be. The Bible and the Catechism should be sitting side by side, because there's so many quotes from the Catechism as you read it. But it's from the Bible as you read it. And then there's tons of footnotes referencing the different church councils or the different saints and even philosophers. So let this book read you. You know, it's just like the Bible. You shouldn't be dissecting the Bible like a modernist theologian. You should let it dissect you. It should be a circumcision of your heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Barry, it's always so much fun to have you on just because of your experience and your passion for Jesus. You just exude that, and it's just as awesome. I want to make sure in the last couple minutes here that I have not missed anything that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, gosh, so much to talk about. So we've talked about the Bear's Man Cave. Guess what? Bill, you're going to dig on this. So it turns out that one of the best things you can do to create a man cave is to ride a motorcycle, because women run from it. You know, it's a kind of your own little cloister sometimes, although Cindy loves to ride with me. Another great way to create a man cave, you know, a portable man cave, is a cigar. You know, G.K. Chesterton, I think someday he'll be the saint of cigars, said that the pint, the pipe, and the cross go very well together within Catholicism. And I have found so many men involved in the new evangelization, they just love cigars. And I think there's a real significant reason for it, because it brings men back to their masculinity. It's like a man cave. Women run from it. Although women will come by sometimes when I'm smoking down on the beach and reading, they'll say, "Oh, my uncle or my grandfather or my dad." It reminds them of the way men used to be. And so we've come out with a thing called Bear's Man Cave Cigars. It's a seven cigar sampler pack, believe it or not, called the Seven Virtues. Three Maduros that are the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and four milder blends, all Dominican, that are the cardinal virtues of justice, self-mastery, prudence, and fortitude. And when you're having a cigar with your buddy, you want to peel that label. And inside, there's a quote from me about one of the virtues to kind of be a discussion starter with your buddy. But guys enjoy the cigar because it's a way for us to take a time out. And when you're having a cigar with a buddy, you're taking a time out and listening in dialogue, and you're taking an hour to yourself. And I got to say, it's probably a great reason why I read about 100 books a year, maybe not that many, but a lot of books a year, is because I enjoy a cigar while I read. So there's just something to it, and I enjoy even my rosary. You can, you know. And we've come out with this new thing, and people can go to our website, bearwoznik.com. We've got pins and motorcycle patches from our TV show, and T-shirts and my books. And I just want to thank you, Bill, for all that you've meant for our ministry, too, all the things that you've done for me.
Of course, Bear. It's always a pleasure to keep you riding the airwaves. It's a pleasure to have you on today. So thanks so much for joining me. And we will definitely have you on again.
Looking forward to it. We got a surf's up. I'm looking out my window. I'm heading out right now for a surf.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll let you get to that. And this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. God bless.
Viva Cristo Rey.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about this program or Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org. That's patchworkheart.org. Or email info@patchworkheart.org.